This is the Barbershop Talk radio program, but this is even it, because this is the Barbershop Talk Human Family Day. Coming your way, people, right there in the wonderful, wonderful location of Broad and Snyder. The South Philadelphia High School, people. Wow. All we can tell you that there's a lot of news going on everywhere, and there's all kinds of stuff happening all over the planet, people. I just want you guys to realize how blessed you are, no matter how much is going on here in our country right now.
Excuse me, Mr. President. Let me introduce myself. My name is Melanin Man. My question to you is, do you know the best talk show man in Radioland?
Woody from Woody's Barbershop.
You are correct, Mr. President. Mr. Woody will help you get the word out on Word Radio, WURD. 900 a.m. here in Philadelphia.
Now we're going to move right along because we got our first exciting guest, and we're going to have Dr. Keith Shepherd read about him. Dr. Shepherd.
Yes, our first exciting guest is Stanley Pockris. He is the director of Nonprofit Technology Resources. He runs a computer thrift store and computer factory on Brandywine near Broad and Spring Garden Streets. He started teaching nonprofit groups to use computers back in 1982, and it evolved into refurbishing organizations. Companies donate computers when they're no longer using them, and he gives away 300 computers to school students through their teachers.
Are you serious? 300 computers? That's a lot of doggone learning. Wow, go ahead, Doc.
And Mr. Pockris is, he's actually seeking computer techs that want to volunteer their services for the nonprofit. And he can be reached at 215-564-6686. Once again, 215-564-6686. Stanley Pockris.
All right, Stanley Pockris. I can only tell you, we usually start with questions, and we start with our co-host. I know Doc probably has a bunch of questions, and I know Miss Tone has a question or two as well. What we're going to do, we're going to start with Doc. Doc, you have a question for our exciting guest?
So if I'm a student in school and I'm in need of a computer, how would I, you know, reach out to you and get one of these computers?
Well, the free computers are done through the teachers. So if the student and the parent or the parent association or have the teachers contact us and try to get a group of 8 to 15 kids together. That's okay. How we do free computers is through groups of students, through their teacher, or through the Home and School Association, or through other organizations that work with students.
Okay, so the computer probably stays in the classroom and...
No. No, we're giving computers to students to take home with them, but we do it in conjunction with the teachers or other organizations. We work with various nonprofit organizations that teach computer to kids. And so if we have a group that is interested in getting computers for a group of kids, then they contact us and we work out a time frame and get computers to their kids.
Wow. Very good. Very
all right. I like that. Now, people, you're going to be hearing a lot more about these computers, and Mr. Stanley is going to bring some information to our Human Family Day. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to get him to talk all about how he got into this field. And I just want to share with you the importance of so many people that everybody thinks everybody has a computer, and they don't. So, Stanley, how do you teach a person that's never been on a computer?
One of the things we do is we have people take them apart. So when you come, if you're coming as part of a group to get a free computer to take home, we give you the opportunity to open the box, and we go take you a tour of the inside of the computer. And if the group is, if they're not tiny little kids with their parents, we'll have them take parts out of the computer and put it back. And we give them a tour of what's inside. We talk about the various functions of the parts. We show them what's inside of a hard drive, which is a very amazing, actually amazing kind of tool. A hard drive is a little robot that finds information on the surface of a spinning disk. It's sort of like a jukebox, and a little needle inside goes and finds the information it needs on the surface of a spinning disk. And when you see it opened up, it's a beautiful thing because it's so shiny and clean, and with the little movable heads that pick up the information and write on the surface of the disc, and the things spinning around inside there, so that it becomes a lot easier to explain what can go wrong with a computer. Because when you realize that what you're dealing with is a spinning disc and a little needle that's going to have to find the information, if it doesn't find the information it needs at the right time, then the computer says, oh, and it stops.
Yeah, right.
Okay. It didn't get the information it needs. So you have to take care of the hard drive. There are tools that come with Microsoft's Windows that let you take care of the organization of the material on the hard drive. And if you take care of that, then you won't have the situation where the computer freezes up because it can't find its next instruction.
Now maybe you can share with the listening audience here in Philadelphia, New Jersey, Delaware, and now in the world, maybe you can share with us, how does a virus get into a computer?
Well, most of them are picked up on websites where you probably shouldn't have been in the first place. Okay, so, but that's, the notion of a computer virus is actually a program. It's a piece of software that somebody wrote. They wrote it and they put it out in the world and they made it so that it is capable of finding its way from one machine to another. And They're very nasty.
Kind of really like a real virus
they're
in the human
like
body.
Kind of like a virus, but I mean, that's a good term for a self-replicating piece of software that is written and designed to infect or to move from one computer to another, and you can find them on the internet quite readily. What we're about to roll out is a machine that restores itself every day, so that it will avoid the idea of picking up a virus by not allowing any new thing to happen to the instructions that are stored on the hard drive.
Get out of here, Doc. I got to tell you, that sounds awesome. Wow. That would be wonderful. I mean, when you stop and think about it, every day it cleans itself.
Right.
So it's kind of like us. If we don't wash up in the morning, we're going to end up with more of a virus than what you think, people. I just want you to know this whole issue of the human body and the computer always did amaze me, because I kind of think it's almost like the copycat of a human being. It's just that we don't understand just how valuable we are, because we're the ultimate computer, human beings.
I think they're going to be a long way to go before we make a computer that can truly think. People talk about it, and for the last 50 years they've been talking about artificial intelligence. And they're getting machines now where they can make you think that that's a person, perhaps, and they're able to play games, and they're able to solve problems, and they're doing a lot of things, but they're not thinking. They're running programs that people have designed, and it's going to take a while. I don't think that we're going to get to a point where we're going to design artificial intelligence that's truly alive in the sense that we think of artificial intelligence becoming alive for quite a while. I think our intelligence is based on quantum physics,
yes,
as opposed to the nuclear physics and molecular physics that most of us have a chance of understanding. But quantum physics is still quite a mystery, and I think that that's where consciousness comes from.
Yeah. Well, that's a beautiful thing. I have to applaud on that, because I really do believe that you're right about that. I really, you know, one of the things I've always said is from the top of the head to the bottom of the spine is an antenna to the universe. And we truly are receivers of information on a daily basis as human beings. And the wonderful part about that melanin does play a part, that it's a conduit to energy. So all of the fruits and vegetables draw it in from the sunlight, and the vitamins come in, and all of the different colors come in. And that's the same thing with human beings. One color, many shades, one race. many cultures. I want to thank you so much. Maybe you can share with us, because we have the green room jammed in there, your phone numbers and your address and what you want people to get out of what we talked about today, because people are going to see you at the Human Family Day. That's what I want them there for, to finish asking these questions, because it's such a wonderful thing. I know when I first started talking with you, it's just so much to learn about computers, and to have you at the Human Family Day is going to be a wonderful thing. So what would you like people to get from what we've talked about today, Stan?
Well, we're trying our hardest to find a way to make sure that when somebody gets a computer from us, it's going to last.
Mm.
Okay, so that's one of the things that they should understand. We're working hard to make our computers last. We guarantee most of our computers for 3 years, and that's irregardless of whether they get a virus or put a program into it that doesn't work right.
Mm.
So we're on the side of the people. We want them to be able to have the information that they need,
mm-hmm.
And it's the information that I'm really,
offering
to people, mm-hmm. not necessarily this machine. It's,
right.
It's the access to information that I want them to have.
Very good. Very good, Stan. Phone number, website.
215-564-6686, and we're ntrweb.org.
Very, very good. Thank you. We're going to see you at the Barbershop Talk Human Family Day. Thank you, Stanley. We really do appreciate that. Now, we're going to get our next exciting guest to come in. We'll be right back with Barbershop Talk.
Don't worry. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Rain down on the earth.
900 AM, WURD, Philadelphia. Yeah.